and standard translation of the Bible, not because other translations are bad or wrong, but because the New American Standard translation of the Bible renders this word the same way throughout the passage, so we get the idea of what the word is. I encourage you to follow along, to hear vigilantly, and we will hear this point emphasized. It's the word for stumble or stumbling block. Now, Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than having two hands or two feet and to be cast into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into fiery hell. See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Join me in prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now we pause and we give you thanks for your word, which is open before us now. Give us ears to hear, and a joyful readiness to obey. Search our hearts and reveal to us if we are blind instead of you being unknowable. Search our hearts and reveal if we are fleeing from you instead of you avoiding us. Ready our ears, our hearts. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, and amen. Matthew chapter 18 is concerned with life and interactions among disciples. Matthew chapter 18 entirely is concerned with how we behave as disciples among disciples, how we interact with one another. Today, the concern is, are we faithful or are we promoting some kind of falling or failure? Are we staying faithful to Jesus, or are we being a stumbling block? If you were to look ahead, and I encourage you to do, even as I wrote to the congregation yesterday, read ahead in Matthew 18. What you're going to see is this, as we continue on in the weeks to come, Lord willing, that we are also supposed to have care or love for the sheep, one another, even straying sheep. And we are supposed to use our Heavenly Father's love as the example. There's more. We are supposed to show care and love for one another, for others, when sin might have been present, or when sin actually has been present. Matthew 18 teaches us, how do we get along with other sinners? How do we deal with that? I think sin might have happened. What do I do about that? This passage also calls upon us to remember how great a debt you have been forgiven. When you start dealing with other people, look back to the great debt that was taken away from you. Well, our passage today, in sum, if you'll allow me to do this and this, here we go. Our passage today deals with a calling to Jesus, or a coming to Jesus, or it's presenting also a keeping away from Jesus. So that's what's before us. Are we coming to Jesus or calling others to Jesus, or are we doing things to keep people away from Jesus? Another way to phrase this would be, we are called to live lives that stay faithful to Jesus. We are not supposed to live a life that's running around scattering stumbling blocks all over the place and then watching for people to stumble on them. Stumbling blocks. Mentioned earlier, just before the scripture reading, it's the Greek word skandalizo. The noun is scandalon. It's a form of scandal. It's scandalous. But the translation stumbling block works very well. And the way that we're going to take it here is that a stumbling block is something that would keep somebody away from Christ, pushing somebody away from Christ, even yourselves. It made me start thinking of my stumblings in my life, and I'd like to share a few stories, with the risk that you might think I'm an incredible clod. But I think we've all stumbled. And whenever you're stumbling, you're going along the way and something stumbles you and gets you out of the way. So I thought of some low voltage opportunities, and the examples that came to mind all happened back in yesteryear when I was in high school, way back in the 1800s. And my high school years were filled with stumblings. Not this kind of stumbling, but you get the idea of a stumbling block. One night, I awoke in the middle of the night, had to get up and take care of some things, and had forgotten that I had rearranged my bedroom and stubbed my toe on the dresser and then fell on the dresser. And it's very dark, not a single light, but when your eye socket hits the dresser, things get really bright. And within that same time frame, I went to public high school, and let this be a warning. At the main entry to the public high school, these doors would swing open, and there would be these little catches on the concrete, so the doors would swing open, and they would catch. This is why we're considering not doing that for those doors out there. History is a stern teacher here, and from where I would usually have lunch with my friends, I came bounding up the stairs one day. The doors were closed, and I tripped over one of those things. And, of course, a wondrous spill happened after that. But the worst one I made up a word. It's the word fling, P-F-L-I-N-G. I had been fling. I had been selected to play for my Pony League All-Star team. And before we left Lake Havasu City, Arizona, to go down to Phoenix for this summer Pony League tournament, some friends of mine that were on the team, we decided to go to the Crazy Horse Campground where they had a water slide. And we lived in those days, regularly socks and shoes were off. I was speaking to Elder Capone about socks and shoes being off and the way we, grew up. Remember this? And barefoot on the asphalt, well, we park in the dirt parking lot, and we're walking to, my family knows this story, walking to the water slide, and there was in the earth a rock, a stumbling stone, protruding from the dirt of the earth. And I'm barefooted, and I'm walking along full pace. We wanted to get to the water slide. And my second toe, the one right next door to the big toe, hit that, and I think I heard the noise, fling, and that's where that word came from. The toenail just went fling, and completely gone. Completely altered my path down, completely changed some things. And some of you in the medical field have seen a raw underside of where a toenail used to be. I'm going to stop this here in a moment. But these are the things that were coming to me. It didn't just change my day, immediately went home, but couldn't play at all in the Pony League tournament. And, I'm hobbling along. And point is, stumbling blocks, that was truly a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense there in an earthly sense. But anyway, our passage is concerned with, are we Are our lives calling people to Jesus, or are they keeping people from Jesus? Are paths being altered? The passage begins in verse 1, at that hour or in that day. The disciples are all together from the previous chapter, and you'll remember they were in a house, and Simon Peter had been asked whether or not his teacher pays the tribute tax. Well, the disciples are together, and they're asking a question about the disciples, and here's the question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's how the passage begins. They're leaning into this. And before we condemn this question, we need to pause and look in the mirror. It's so easy to look at that and go, the disciples are always squabbling or bringing up who's better, who's the best, who's. We need to look in the mirror because we do this still. Who is significant? Who matters most? Who is indispensable? Now, by the way, this question could have been asked with the glowing stated intention of, we just want to be the best. We just want to follow you faithfully. Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We want to know so that we can. Question is missing things. What does Jesus do? That's their question. Jesus gives an answer. He calls to himself a child. Question is asked, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Child. And he takes this child and sets this child likely with him and gets right in the middle of the disciples. This conversation is going on. Now, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, nearly 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jeffrey and I were driving back from the conference, and we were discussing this particular passage, and I was sharing with him how I had been noting that this particular Greek word is used over and over and over again, and that if you simply say, oh, it's an offense, well, we've all offended people. Does that mean I need to wear a millstone and jump in the sea? We've all done things unaware that we are tripping people, maybe causing offense or temptation is present. And so with the whole flow of Matthew's gospel, will you embrace Christ or not? Will you go to Christ or will you stay away from Christ? I presented to Pastor Jeffrey, it seems as if this particular Greek word is being used here as a stumbling block is a keep away from Christ. And so Pastor Jeffrey is then going, we're going back and forth, and he mentions in the Greek language right here in verse 2 that if that interpretation is right, verse 2 shows the exact opposite, because what Jesus does, he uses a Greek word that does this. Come here. Come to me. Come to me. So right here in verse 2, Jesus calls to himself a child. And he says, here. And this is what Jesus says in answer to the question. Here's his answer. Who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Take a look at this child. And I'm not going to get into child psychology. That's not the point here. Jesus calls upon his disciples to turn, to be converted, to change. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven is a change. Everyone should be going, probably not the way I am. Next, Jesus says in verse 4, that's what he says in verse 3, truly I say to you, unless you are converted, turned. Verse 4, he says, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he's great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever's low, whoever is, you're asking about greatness, I'm going to present to you insignificance, humility. And then last, in verse 5, Jesus says, whoever receives, imagine our Lord with a child. He says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Welcomes me. Will you welcome such an insignificant person? Will you welcome someone who probably can't do much for you? your question, who's great? I think you need to turn. You need to ask a more humble question. By the way, the question of verse 1, if you were simply looking for what others might call greatness or might, you would miss Jesus. You would stumble over the stone and you would miss Jesus because you'd go, he's not that great. By the way, this is not a call to childishness. This is a call to receive Christ and to be humble. And by the way, no one here will receive Christ when they're filled with themselves. What did we read earlier today in Romans chapter 12? Stop thinking so highly of yourself. You think highly of yourself, you're going to go, hey, nice little kid, get out of here, kid. High thoughts of oneself leads to a despising of others. We're dealing with relationships in the body of Christ. So what does Jesus say, verse 6? Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me, note a couple of things. First of all, little ones are expected to believe in Jesus. We train little ones. Come to Christ. We expect you to believe in Jesus. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to be tripped up, to stumble. Something very severe is going to come. But note the other thing. This little one is a disciple, a fellow disciple. A fellow disciple. We are surrounded by fellow disciples, little ones, and sometimes they make noise. Sometimes they squirm. Sometimes some of us older disciples squirm. I can see it. Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, to be kept from me, there's a most severe punishment waiting up ahead, around the corner. Jesus is not kidding about keeping others from him, about being a roadblock, a barrier. Jesus says it would be better for a donkey-driven millstone to be hung around that person's neck and for that person to be sunk down in the depths of the sea, far from land. This is a severe punishment. That's another reason why, if this passage simply, if scandalon simply means offense, people look at that, oh, I'm offended by that. Jesus would be saying, you're missing the whole point. You're going to keep some little one? This is why parenting is so weighty. The Lord allows man and woman to come together, and by his appointment, an eternal spark is granted. That's a Dabney phrase. When we look at little children, there's an immortal spark, an eternal spark, that which shall never be put out. You cannot go, psst. So these little ones, eternal, immortal spark. Those who belong to Christ are not to be messed with. For anyone to attempt to draw them away from Christ, the penalty is most severe. And what our Lord does here is he refers to a particular kind of millstone. There were various millstones in the Bible. Some of them were rather small, where you could take usually grain, I would like to have thought coffee, and on one flattish stone, there'd be another stone mashed. We still have that kind of grinding stone today. I brought one as an example. With this, after it was treated by some fine salts, some of the finest guacamole has come from this bowl. And guacamole is good. But we still use such things today. This is not the kind of grinding stone that our Lord is referring to in this passage. Now, this could be a stumbling stone. The kind of millstone that Jesus is referring to here is a donkey-driven millstone. By estimates of research, likely 4 to 5 feet in diameter, propped up on end and driven by a mule. Or if you're wanting to make fun of someone, a Samson. And then that would be on a rock surface. And that would provide enough grain for an entire community. Jesus refers to that kind of millstone. And he says it should be a necklace. And that person is not a river, it's not a lake, it's not by the shore. The language is way out to the depths so that there's no hope of recovery here. Verse 7, stumbling blocks are out there. They're there. Jesus has 3 things to say about the stumbling blocks that are out there. First thing that Jesus says is, woe to the world because of the stumbling blocks. Woe to the world. All of the ways that Christ is avoided, considered an offense, tripped over. Woe to the world for all the ways that Christ is avoided. The second thing Jesus says in verse 7 is this. It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. Stumbling blocks occur. Note this. You're walking along the way, disciples, followers of Christ, there are stumbling blocks. We've been told. The last thing that Jesus says about these stumbling blocks is make sure it's not you. Woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. Woe to the world for stumbling blocks. They're out there. Make sure you're not one of them. So then we ask this question, how? Remember, this is the disciples are together. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Take a look at this child. Make sure that you're not a stumbling block because there are stumbling blocks out there. Don't be counted among them. Be my followers. And then the disciples go, how can we not be a stumbling block? And our Lord does something that we need to hear so clearly today. Because today, we live in an age where everyone is going, you know what? I want to know the opinion of so-and-so. What do you think of me? Ooh. And our Lord says, stop looking out there when it comes to stumbling blocks. Take a look at yourself. This is what Jesus says, direct, pointed. We need to hear this. Verses 8 and 9. And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame, maimed or lamed, than to have 2 hands or 2 feet and be cast into the eternal fire. Talk about these little children that are eternal sparks. They need to be nurtured, nourished, because there's an eternal fire. Next verse, verse 9, if your eye causes you to stumble, go ahead and dig in, pluck it out, and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be cast into the fiery hell. Our Lord here shows us some ways that we, ourselves, can be scandals or stumbling blocks ourselves. This is about your personal responsibility. How can I not be a stumbling block? Instead of blaming, it's time to say, what has Christ called me to do? This is about your hand. This is about your foot. It's about your eye. It doesn't have to be both. It doesn't have to be both eyes. It doesn't have to be both hands. It can be just one hand. Yours. Not someone else's. You can't say, well, that person's hand. That's not the direction of this passage. You don't get to say, well, they're stumbling me. That's not where our Lord's going. You. Our Lord is so concerned about being missed or dismissed that he says, cut it off, pluck it out. By the way, the last time our Lord used this language of cutting off, although when he did it before, it was just your right eye or your right hand, is when he was talking to us about our lusts. It's not about someone else's lusts. It's talking about your lusts. I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28. Now the next verse. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, throw it from you, for it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. He goes on, if your right hand makes you stumble, same word, cut it off, throw it from you. Christ is calling for a separation here. So the sermon title today, Stumbling Blocks and Separations. Those things cause you to stumble? You need a separation. Takes practice. But we have been given the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this. If there's a potential for stumbling, there needs to be a separation. And likely in this, there's a point to the Pharisees who call themselves the separate. The very Pharisees who are saying, stay away from Christ, stay away from Christ. Don't go follow him. Don't go there. Jesus is saying there needs to be a separation. But when we encounter hands and feet and the eyes or the head in the Bible, we ought to be reminded of something else. We ought to be reminded when it comes to the feet and the hands and the head, we ought to be reminded of another kind of separation. What is our Lord calling us to? Holiness. Holiness. You're going to go, oh, that's vague. No, it's really not. We say that it's vague so that we can get out of what we're called to do. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And the place was shaking all over the place. And then these fire angels came forth, and they were speaking of the Lord's holiness, his holiness, and his holiness. And what were they doing? There was something about their feet, something about their head, and something about their sides. With their two of the wings, they covered their feet. Two of the wings, they covered their eyes. And with two, they flew. The whole earth is full of his glory. This idea, by the way, of hand and eyes and feet is all over the Bible. And yet we look at this and we go, well, you know, what are we talking about? Surgery here? In a kind of surgery, but not that way. It's all over the Bible. We should also be reminded of the distinctiveness of the priests, those ministers who were set apart to serve the Lord. And you know what happened at the ordination and the installation of a priest? According to the book of Exodus, when a priest was set apart, consecrated, his right thumb, his right big toe, and his right ear were dabbed with blood. You, the entirety of your person is supposed to be sold out and dedicated to the Lord wherever you go with your foot, whatever you put your hand to, and whatever you look at or listen to. So again, we had foot, hand, and head. There are other examples as well. Because we belong to the Lord, we are a distinct, set apart, holy, peculiar people. We have been called out of darkness into the Lord's light. Because of this, we do certain things and not other things. So our Lord gives us the example. So here are some questions for you. What do you do with our hands? What do you do with your hands? Are you a stumbling block to yourself? You know what we want to do? We want to just blame. Well, the Lord doesn't allow that. Because you know what? You start stumbling yourself, you're going to start stumbling other people as well. So what do you do with your hands? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your day? What activities are you engaged in? Feet. Where do you go? What kind of company do you keep? Because the things you do and the company you keep are going to impact you. Eyes. What do you look at? I'll be right back. What do you look at? Obviously, the eyes are related to your hands and your feet. Before you put your hand to something, you're looking at it. Before you walk somewhere, you're looking at where you're going. And by the way, last, before we get to some application points, and we're going to wrap this up, our Lord ends as he began. The passage begins with the question, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus calls toward himself, calls to his face a little child. The passage ends with this. Be careful. Know this about the little ones. See to it that you don't look down upon these little ones. That you do not despise these little ones. Because their angels in heaven continually are in the face of my Father. It's a beautiful package. How do we look at one another? You know what? You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do when it comes to one another? Do we get together in a place and we sit down and we go, you know, those people, this and that. And the other. You know what? Jesus died for those people. Do we speak ill of one another? How do we perceive one another? Let me wrap up with just a few points, and thank you for your attentiveness. The concern about this passage is more about the stumbling blocks you might give than the ones that might be set apart you, set before you. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. It's inevitable that they come. They're going to be out there. Yes, offenses will be given. It's another matter altogether to be quick to take offense and to embrace the stumbling block, like what they did to me. It's time to stop blaming your brother, your sister, your brother or sister in Christ, your spouse, your parents. Oh, but this, look what they did. What are you called to do? You see what happens? Sometimes we look back at things and you know what? Sin happens. But then what we'll do is with our hands and we'll grab onto that and we'll say, you know what, this is what happened to me. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to keep walking there with my foot and I'm going to go over there and I'm just going to stand there. And then I'm going to look down on one of those little ones for whom Christ died. It is not denied in the Scriptures, from the Old to the New Testaments, that Jesus Christ is called a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling. Yes, he is. That is true. We live in a day and age where many are offended by his teaching. They're offended by his name. They're stumbling over him. Jesus Christ is the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. We are not supposed to be. Next. We could hear it already. Our Lord is most earnest. He's not kidding. You know, but sometimes I think we trifle around. We trifle with his word and his ways. Our Lord doesn't hesitate to speak of hellfire and weighty and eternal punishments. And then sometimes I think we dabble around as if this is a game show. There's an app for that. Next, our Lord speaks of cutting off one's hand or foot, or plucking out your eye. Let's be clear about something. We know that such surgeries will not change our hearts, our desires. Such surgeries will not change your wanter. We need to be made new for that. I am sure, I don't have a single example of this, but I'm sure that in the history of the world there have been murderers who had only one hand. However, let's not miss what our Lord is calling us to. This language is another way of saying, cut it out. So I'm going to end with this question. Knowing of our Lord's wonderful provision for us and his embrace of us, he's instructing his disciples. He loves his disciples, and he's teaching his disciples how to care for and love one another. But here's the question that we must ask, and with this we end. What do you need to cut out? What do you need to stop doing so as to not drop a bunch of trip hazards in front of others? And what do you need to start doing so as to not be a trip hazard yourself? There's more to come on this. Because sometimes somebody might think such and such is a trip hazard. Well, there's a way to go about dealing with that. But let us start here for the glory of Christ and the beautification of his congregation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord, we pray that you will allow your word to sink deeply into our hearing and that we will live accordingly, showing forth the majesty of your name. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and all of God's people said,